Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
One of the most ambitious refugee resettlement efforts out of Africa is taking place right now. The UN Refugee Agency hopes to find homes for at least 50,000 Congolese refugees over the next few years in countries around the world, but primarily in the U.S. There are more than 50 million refugees worldwide. There are also record numbers of people internally displaced, the majority in just five countries: Iraq, South Sudan, Syria, Nigeria, and the Democratic Republic of Congo, the center of this new resettlement effort. We often check in with Sasha Chanoff, co-founder and executive director of Refuge Point. They work to protect refugees. And after refugees from the Congo were massacred at the Katumba refugee camp in Burundi in 2004, he put together a rescue proposal for them that planted the seed for today's bigger resettlement. Sasha, welcome back to you.
Thanks, Robin. Nice to be back.
And one of those survivors is Sandra Uriringimana. She came to the U.S. through Sasha's rescue plan, and with others paved the way for the massive resettlement that's going on right now. Sandra's in Rochester, New York, her new home. Sandra, welcome to you.
Thank you so much for having us.
And I hate to take you back to this night in this refugee camp, but just so people understand what a hell it was, just let's tell them a little bit of what happened. You were born in Congo, but your ancestors were from Rwanda, which is why you were attacked by Congolese. So you'd already fled to this UN camp when one night the UN camp was attacked. A terrible, terrible night. Your mother woke you and your sister up. You started to leave your refugee tent when what happened?
I went to bed that night with my younger sister, Deborah, whom unfortunately we lost in the massacre, and my mother. And then suddenly I was woken up and I was surrounded with wounded and dead people. And I just remember my mother trying to shelter us from everything that was going on. And I just remember seeing people being shut down and my cousin trying to escape, but then getting killed before she could make it outside of the tent. And just everyone in the tent being killed. And the only survivors in my tent were really just me, my mother, and one other little girl, but her family had been killed. The attackers spoke our languages, they knew our songs, so they knew exactly how to get to us. And so when they called out and said they were rescuing us, we believed them because they spoke our language, and there was no reason for us to be questioning them. And after we went to the door, he basically shut everybody down, and I thought I had lost my mother at that point. And then I went back to the mattress that my mother was hiding me under, and then I don't know what happened, but then I woke up, and the tent was burning around me, and I tried to make my way out. And as soon as I stepped out, a gunman held me, and I didn't know what to do, so I asked him to forgive me. And I don't know what was going on through his mind, but he had to pick between me and this older gentleman that was also running away. And I guess he found his life more valuable than mine. I was as good as dead to him because I was a 10-year-old girl with no parents and nowhere to go.
So he thought you weren't going to make it anyway. He let go of you and went after the man. The story continues. You made your way to a farm, but we're going to fast forward to you making your way to the U.S. But first, I have to ask: this was 11 years ago. I can't even imagine you're talking about it now. Does it come back to you that night? Where do you put that night?
It's one of those nights that I don't think I will ever be able to let go of, or if anything, I just remember more and more as I grow older, more details of the night. And it's just kind of a movie in my head constantly.
Yeah. Well, it's horrific. And Sasha, it's no wonder that you were moved to help these survivors come to the U.S. But now this huge program 50,000 Congolese refugees coming to the U.S. Is this kind of violence still happening? Why can't they stay? Why do they need to be brought to the U.S.?
The conflict in Congo started in 1996 after the Rwandan genocide, when the killers from the Rwandan genocide fled into the Congo and were the spark that started the Congo conflict. It became known as Africa's World War. It's still going on today, almost 20 years later. There are nearly 3 million people who were displaced within Congo and about 500,000 refugees who fled to neighboring countries. It was known as the greatest humanitarian catastrophe in the world a number of years ago. It's fallen off the news radar, but it's still going on, and we still have to attend to the survivors who have fled. These people are eager to rebuild their lives, but some of them have been refugees for almost 20 years, which is today the average amount of time that someone who flees their home to a neighboring country is a refugee.
Well, it's funny you say it's off the radar, because what's been on the radar are groups like Boko Haram, kidnapping girls in Nigeria. It's sort of pushed the Congo, the Democratic Republic of Congo, out of the headlines. And I wonder for you, Sandra, you have resettled in Rochester, but have you ever moved on from thinking about those that were left behind?
Absolutely not. Because I know that it's my responsibility and everyone else's responsibility, really, to help people that are still being hurt by these wars. And I have extended family, I have friends who are still in those situations. So it's not possible for me to move on from that.
Yeah. Well, and you are getting very important ears to listen to your story and this, you know, this push to bring a huge number of Congolese to the U.S. You recently met the president and Michelle Obama at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Sasha brought you to that. What did you say to them?
I, first of all, just thank them for having me in the United States. And I know that my life wouldn't have been the same if not for the efforts of the U.S. government to get me here. And I'm very grateful for the opportunities that I've gotten. But also just to thank them for their efforts for young girls, because I'm a young woman and I know just that we don't have a voice in Congo. We're almost invisible in the government and in other efforts too as well. So I just thank them for keeping those issues in their mind. And I know that there are so many other problems that they could be focusing on. And so I just thank them for being, for including me in their problems.
Well, Sandra, you've also started a foundation to help other refugees. And you and your brother have a project making portraits of massacre survivors. Turns out you're quite the artist. Where do you find them?
Well, the project was specific to the Gatumba massacre, just because I was going through a time where I needed some sort of healing. And for me, that was expressing other people's pain. That was similar to mine. And so that project specifically, the survivors show, was specific to the Gatumba massacre. But I do plan on letting other voices be heard through art, because I found it a great way for me to just heal and to channel negative energy.
Well, but meanwhile, here you are in Rochester, a beautiful part of the country. Very, very cold. In upstate New York, very cold in the winter. Lots of apple orchards, you know, some of us familiar with the area. How are you making your home there?
It's just about embracing what you do have and just realizing where I come from and realizing the opportunities that are around me and just taking them and creating something. And I have my immediate family here in Rochester with me. The first few years when I was here, it was still a foreign land to me. I didn't speak the language. And so there's a lot that goes into resettlement, which I know Sasha and Refuge Point really help with, which is integrating people into communities, whether it's through languages, finding jobs, and all of those things. And so that's a very important part of resettlement that I don't think gets enough attention. And also just taking care of people's mental states, because I know for me, I came from a traumatic experience, but I know that also there are people who come from even worse experiences. And so just that issue of making sure that we resettle people, but also taking care of them when they get here.
And do you hope to be one of the people that helps them?
Absolutely. I hope so.
Yeah. That's Sandra Uriringimana. She came to the U.S. as a refugee 8 years ago, now a sophomore in college. Sandra, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Robin.
And we've also been speaking with Sasha Chanoff, co-founder and executive director of Refuge Point, the organization that works to protect the most vulnerable refugees, as there's a huge resettlement effort of Congolese refugees underway right now. Sasha, thank you.
Thank you, Robin.
And that massacre that Sandra survived, remember we mentioned it happened at a refugee camp in Burundi. Well, that country is still very much in turmoil ahead of elections next month. An army general announced yesterday that the military has ousted the president, but it's unclear at this point who's in control. Hundreds of people have been protesting in the capital in recent weeks, opposing the president's plan to run for a third term. More than 50,000 people have fled that country with this unrest and violence. Another story we'll continue to follow here and now.